of the wolves in Yellowstone Park. Aha, a couple of you have. For more than 100 years ago, and for as long as wolves have been around, Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming had wolves, as did the whole western United States. But by the 1920s, so what's that, 130 years ago, by the 1920s, the wolves in Yellowstone were gone. They had been killed by ranchers who were protecting livestock, maybe sheep. But in 1995, the park decided to reintroduce gray wolves to Yellowstone. Yellowstone had become one of the few protected havens for wolves in the United States. And the reintroduction of wolves in Yellowstone was successful. And by 2014, there were 104 wolves in 11 packs in Yellowstone. Now, this is good news for the wolves who had been on the endangered species list. But the successful reintroduction of wolves to Yellowstone has also been good news for the entire ecosystem, with a dramatic cascading effect. Without a significant predator like the wolf, the population of elk in Yellowstone had grown to be quite large, and the elk grazed down most of the vegetation, including the tops of young trees. And once the wolves were reintroduced, well, of course, they hunted the elk, which did reduce the population somewhat. But because of the wolves, the elk changed their grazing patterns. They stayed out of the valleys where they were easier targets. And this meant that the vegetation in the valleys began to regenerate, including the willow stands near the river. So you know who else likes to eat willow trees? Beavers! The population of beavers grew, and they built new dams, which provided habitats for otters and muskrats and ducks, and the dams changed the flow of the streams and provided deeper and colder shaded water for fish. And birds settled in the renewed population of the willow trees. And all of this change, due to the introduction of one new element, the wolves, is known as a trophic cascade. It's a trophic cascade, and the cascade continued. The wolves' hunting benefited scavengers, of course, including beetles and ravens and eagles and magpies and coyotes and lynx and grizzly and black bears. But listen to this. The presence of gray wolves in Yellowstone even changed the course of rivers. This is how that happened. The regenerating forest, remember, because the elk were staying out of the valleys and not eating the tops of the trees, so the regenerating forest along the riverbank stabilized the riverbank so they weren't collapsing into the river. And then the rivers deepened because they stayed in one place and they became more fixed in their course. And the physical geography of Yellowstone was changed by wolves. Everything is connected. We are all connected. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. On the fourth Sunday of Easter every year, we read or we sing the 23rd Psalm, of course. The Lord is my shepherd. And then we read a text from the Gospel of John wherein Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. And in the Gospel of John, our reading for this year, Jesus says that he is the shepherd and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But Jesus says even more than that. He says in this text that he is also the gate for the sheepfold. The sheep follow the shepherd through the gate and into the sheepfold where they are safe. And Jesus says, I am the shepherd that brings them into the sheepfold. I'm also the gate to the sheepfold. I think we all have some idea of what human shepherds do for their herds of sheep, right? Shepherds protect from predators. Shepherds keep the flock together because, as I said, sheep have a tendency to follow each other and to wander off. And shepherds lead their sheep, and sometimes it's goats, you know, goats too, to water and to pasture. So Jesus is our shepherd in similar ways. He leads us into new ways of being in the world. Jesus leads us into new ways of being in the world. And he is both the shepherd and the gate. He is both the source and the goal. He leads us towards a goal, and it turns out that he is the goal. Jesus' way of being in the world includes protecting the vulnerable and making sure that resources are shared, not hoarded, so that all may flourish. And Jesus' way of being in the world brings new life to everyone. The effects of good and merciful actions cascade. Jesus' way of being in the world includes recognizing the reality that we all live in one great big ecosystem, which is the planet, as well as myriad smaller systems, and that the macro system and all the micro systems are connected. One affects the other. As humans in an ecosystem, as apex predators on the planet, guess what? That's us. Our actions of the last 100+ years, especially the last 100+, have set off a cascade of results that have jeopardized this ecosystem that we live in, our planet. And as followers of the Good Shepherd, as well as inhabitants of the only planet we have, this is it. It's up to us to be part of changing all of that. We seek to live in and to increase awareness of the web of connections that sustain our lives and everything around us. So, for example, anytime we buy something, before we buy it, we should say, was this grown or was this made in a safe and healthy way under just conditions? And if not, I won't buy it. And we are working on it still here in California, learning to bring our own bags with us and to stop buying plastic bottles of water and to carry it around, you know, in your own canteen, and to stop using single-use plastic altogether. It's really a scourge on the planet, single-use plastic. And we choose both local and global ways to advocate, and everything that we do has an effect. I mean, that's the good news. Everything that we do has an effect. As Christians, living in connection with one another, this means that every person that we meet is our sibling, because we all have the same shepherd. And people who live next door and in our state and in our country and across our borders and across the seas are our siblings, and we are connected. Living in connection to one another means that my sister's pain is my pain, and my brother's hunger is my hunger, and that my sibling's need for dignity is a need that I will do what I can to fulfill. Can you and I meet all the needs of the world? Oh, what do you think? No, okay. No, of course not. But everything is connected. So if I make a difference in my corner of the world, I am part of a movement that is larger than myself, and that too will cascade. It goes in either direction, positive or negative, right? In a cascade. Did any of you sort of catch the humor of using the story of wolves as an illustration for Good Shepherd Sunday? I think that was funny, because wolves are usually the villains in any sheep-centric story, right? Wolves are usually the villains, but everything is connected. Everything is. As far as I know, there are no herds of sheep in Yellowstone, but there are many other animals and plants and birds and fish with a need and a right as God's creation to flourish. And wolves in Yellowstone made it possible for willows to grow tall, and for beavers to build dams so that rivers deepened and fish had habitat and songbirds had a place to build nests. What's your willow? What's your willow? What can you cultivate? Who can you help to grow and to flourish? Who can we feed and love and protect when we do it? Just what we are able to do from our own location, then the effect cascades, it grows, it flows from one to the next. And usually it grows. If enough of us do what we can, and if we can stop the wars and create conditions of justice, then we might just save this beautiful, fragile planet and the beings that live upon it. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and because he laid down his life for us, our lives are given back. Our lives are given back to us for a purpose, to be good shepherds for one another and for the planet. It's all connected. We're all connected. Amen.